Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren from WFIU, WTIU News. This week we're joined one last time by Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Hello and welcome. And as always, thank you so much for doing this. You've been a great sport on this show all these years. Hard to believe this started when I came aboard. It was a live call-in show.
Way back when.
Yeah, and it's that Stan Strips. Strzepski, I can't even remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Strzepski was here at that point. I don't know, there may have been someone even before that.
That's who I remember.
And we turned it into a feature on location show, which has been great for us as media to actually come to the city, see what you're doing, go get video, take it back, and do more of a web social media presence, which I think has gone well.
Yeah, I get a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people watch this.
Yeah, great. But again, appreciate you doing this and kind of wrap up a few things here. I know there's a lot on your desk before you leave office officially January 1st, but talk about some of those things that you really kind of want to push through before you head out.
Here. You know, I think it's been really important to me to have a good transition. You know, that doesn't always occur, you know, between administrations a lot. And every 4 years I think about, could this be, you know, the last time that I'm in this position? So I've thought a lot about it over the years, but I wanted to make sure we did that. And so as you think about leaving, yeah, I'm just doing normal business every day right now and trying to provide information to the transition team and, you know, just tying up all the loose ends, I guess, to make sure we leave everything in great shape. And so that's been a bit of a challenge just because we're kind of accelerating the closing of the month, you know, and of the year. So I feel really good about the projects that we have in process right now of getting them moved over to the new administration. We've talked to them about those. You know, we awarded a contract for Ray Park this week as an example, and that project will get started after the first of the year. And, you know, things like that. We got Community Crossings grant recently, and so those things are laid out for next year. Just a variety of things that we're trying to make sure there's a seamless transition on the things that are imminent, you know, are going to happen in the next couple of months. Then there's the things that, where will they fit into the priorities of the next administration? And so we're kind of working through those things now. And so our team's been meeting with members of their team. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's a bit bittersweet just because their projects, some of them I've been working on for years, and now they're getting ready to happen. That's a little frustrating for me just because I wanted to see them through. But, you know, that's the way it works. I want to make sure they stay alive and they continue to get done, really, is the bottom line. So far, it's been a really good transition.
I know there's so many things that on your docket, but one of the things we've always talked about was housing. Where are you leaving that?
So, you know, we got our housing plan for Vigo County as a whole. We know exactly what our inventory is, what our needs are. So over the next 5 years, I would expect somewhere, you know, between 750 and 1,000 new homes, and whether that's single family homes or duplexes or multifamily housing to be built. You know, we made a commitment. We received some Ready Grant funds, first of all. Those have been expended now through working with Thrive West Central. But then the city and the county both put $5 million on the end of the pot to take this on to the next level. And so we want to incentivize builders to build subdivisions, build single family homes on empty lots in the city, wherever, whatever. But to meet that demand that we have with the new jobs that are coming in, and we have to have housing. There has to be a place for people to live. So it's been an important thing for us. The ARPA funds really helped us do some big things. And then I'm hopeful Ready in the future will provide additional funding down the road. So the goal here from a community perspective is to build more houses to support the needs today, but then meet those needs in the future.
Yeah, and when you talk about needs, you think about NTEC, the company that's coming in over on this part of town, bringing in a ton of jobs, but also, you know, driving in, I could see the casino really starting to take shape too.
And they're hiring people, and you know, they've got a lot of good paying jobs too. People want to buy a house and live here. When the NTEC group starts actually hiring staff, once construction gets started and they begin that timeline, there's going to be a huge demand there. You know, 650 employees are not all going to come from Terre Haute and Vigo County. So how do we meet that need? It's getting making, you know, it's expensive to build a house right now. You know, everybody knows that. Everything, all the costs are up, interest rates are up. And so we had to find a way to narrow that gap to make sense to get these builders to build a lot of homes. And so I think it's going to be a great plan. It's going to roll out in the coming next probably 60 days. And hopefully in the spring, we'll start to see that construction happen.
You know, we hear about, you know, the casino is coming, the casino money is coming. What do you mean, or what do people mean when they say the casino money is coming?
So there's local funds that we will receive from the revenues of the casino. So roughly 10% of their gross revenue will come back to the community in a different pipelines, if you will. The city of Terre Haute will get about half of that, roughly $5 million of that, just to go into the budget to be used for quality of life. That's what we had proposed from the beginning, to pave more streets, do more sidewalks, fix up the parks, things that if you're not a gambler and you don't support the casino, that's okay, but you'll still benefit from this. And then there's another $5 million that kind of, $3 million of that goes into the local development agreement. It'll be used for local projects also. And then a couple million dollars that's split between several local entities. So if they meet their goals that they anticipate doing, there'll be roughly $10 million and a full year of operation. So obviously that won't happen next year, but it should happen in 2025 to get that full $10 million coming back into the community that can be reinvested into quality of life, quality of place.
You know, there's so many things I know you could talk about too, about just being proud of your terms here in Terre Haute. You talk about the casino, the convention center, but we have to talk about something that you can't really put a plaque on, and that is balancing the budget after all of those property tax caps.
Yes. I mean, we were one of the hardest hit cities in the state of Indiana, and that's still holding true today. We're having our biggest tax cap credits this year in 2024 that we've had since 2009. We've found ways to get around that. But, you know, that's almost $17 million that would be coming to the general fund had we not had the tax cap. So if you own a piece of property in the city, you're saving $17 million just for the city of Terre Haute. That doesn't include all the other taxing entities. So it's good for the taxpayer, but it makes it difficult to deliver services. And so as I came into office, you know, there was a lot of spending done prior to me coming in. We had a lot of bills to pay, a lot of things to get in place in a year, because in 2009, those caps started. And, you know, they're here forever, so everybody has to live with them. But you hear school corporations, cities, and counties all the time talking about it's still impacting us because you have some growth, but then the caps kick in and you don't get all that growth. So it's been frustrating, but we did that. You know, next year will be the ninth straight year of a balanced budget for the city of Terre Haute. I don't even know if that's ever happened before. We've got cash reserves. We're in a great spot to hand it over to the next administration. We're on very, very solid financial ground.
Any other items that you'd like to mention that, you know, really stick out?
You know, I think getting the police station done was big. You know, we needed to do that. I mean, we were in a temporary facility, if you will, you know, kind of when I came on board, and we milked that as long as we could, but we got this brand new, tremendous facility now that's state of the art. It's one of the best in, you know, anywhere around. So we're very proud of that. Getting the wastewater treatment plant upgraded. Yes, it cost a lot of money to do that, but it put us in compliance with the EPA, which was really important. It was something else I inherited when I came in. You know, getting the overpass done on Margaret Avenue. That should have been done 50 years ago. We got that done. We have another one coming to 13th and 8th Avenue that's fully funded. That'll get built. Hopefully the construction will start in 2025. It's an NDOT driven project, but $26 million worth of, you know, overpass. Very proud of that. Very proud of just what's happened downtown, the improvements there. You know, you mentioned the convention center, but, you know, we have a new federal courthouse, and ISU has done things, a new parking garage. And of course, ISU, Holman Center, besides the School of Business, but, you know, we've had several hundred million dollars worth of investment downtown in the last 20 years. It's been amazing. So it's like, you know, you put plans together. Some things happen faster and happen on the timeline you want them to happen. Other things take a little longer. But just stepping back and looking at it, I think we've accomplished a lot in 16 years. I'm extremely proud of what we've done. The team I've had internally, we've had very little turnover on our department heads or any other position. So that's been helped us as the city of Terre Haute to move forward. But all the community partners, you know, Terre Haute EDC and the Chamber, and you name all the rest. I don't want to leave anybody out, but working with the county. I mean, we've got the best relationships we've ever had in our history, and that's why you get things done when everybody's working together for common goals.
Yeah, I can't say that in many other places.
No, and it wasn't like that here in the past. So I get it, you know, and I hear those stories.
You know, a lot of what you did too, going to the state house, you had to lobby a lot, especially with that not getting a business personal property tax. What's something that you wish, you know, as you leave this office, that the state would do more of for local cities?
You know, just give us more freedom to work with our budget and our dollars. So, you know, a lot of the revenues have very restrictive uses. You can only use it for this. You can only use it for part of this can be used for that, and part of it can be used for, so there's a lot of rules to all those funds. Well, it really, you know, limits the ability to do some things. If they would just give us more freedom to spend those dollars, you know, locally, they approve our budgets anyway, so they know what we're spending it on. But to give us a little bit more local freedom, I love that local control, you know, that hometown rule. So more of that. You know, I don't like more rules and more restrictions, because somebody makes a mistake somewhere, you know, let's don't change the laws to deal with one problem somewhere here or there when the majority of us are following the rules and doing it right. Just give us that local control.
What did you learn the most about Terre Haute residents from being mayor?
You know, I think that a lot of times people don't understand how local government works. They get confused who's responsible for what. And know the limitations we have based on the law, you know, when it comes to like housing, you know, a house that's been condemned and how long it takes to get it condemned, then how long it takes to get torn down. That's one that was a very repetitive, like weekly kind of an issue we dealt with. You know, we've always done everything by the book. We do it by the local ordinance or by state law. And sometimes that's a little frustrating for people. And they don't want to hear that. They just want the problem resolved. And I get it. We've worked really hard on that customer service aspect. The 311 system was another great thing that we implemented to make it easier for people to deal with the city. But it's really just educating, informing, you know, keeping information flowing out to the public to make sure they understand what we can and can't do and make sure we follow through with it. So that's probably the biggest, you know, kind of pain, is that a lot of times people have a complaint, they just want it fixed immediately, and they don't understand why you can't do it today.
What will you miss the most?
Solving problems, those same kind of things. You know, I had a guy walk in here yesterday and he's got an issue with a neighbor, and you know, we made some progress on it already today, but it's like being able to help somebody. Because, you know, when they come and they want to share something with the mayor specifically, it's a pretty big deal to them. It's really already reached the highest point. And I love being able to solve problems. And that's really what this job is. It's a constant. I mean, people don't call up and say, hey, you're doing a great job. They're calling up to tell us they've got an issue they want to deal with. You know, we get roughly 200 contacts a day, whether it's Facebook page, a phone call, an email, a letter. I mean, I receive letters still. And some of those are easy to resolve, and some of them are more complex. And so just making sure that we're responsive and we do everything we can to solve that problem, that's what's been the most important thing to me.
Yeah. Would that be your best piece of advice for Mayor-elect Sackbun?
You know, anybody that gets elected, you know, you always think about, okay, those are my voters. But there's a lot more people than what vote out there. And you just have to remember that no matter how small it might seem, you know, the problem in the big scope of things, it's really important to those people and to that person making that complaint. And they need to get the same level of treatment as, you know, the biggest corporation here or ISU or any, you just name anybody you want. Everybody gets that level playing field from this administration. And I always encourage anybody that gets in a job like this to make sure that you give everybody equal, you know, give them the same attention.
Yeah. So January 1st, do you have any plans yet?
No, not yet. I started sending a resume out the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, I've had a few conversations with people, but I have no set plans as of yet. Hopefully something will happen soon. I'm ready to go to work on January 2nd. I'm fine with that. I just don't know what that next step's going to be, what the future holds. And so hopefully it's some way to contribute to make, you know, West Central Indiana and Terre Haute and Vigo County a better place.
So That was all I had, but I would love for maybe a final word from the mayor.
So I would say, I really enjoy this job. It's been a lot of long hours, no question. 7 days a week, losing three police officers, and a firefighter, three police officers being shot and killed, a firefighter dying of COVID. Those are tough, those were tough times, but those are, things that you just have to deal with sometimes when you're the mayor and as a community. And I think just rallying around those down times helped us, reach some really high, lofty goals that I set. And so when you kind of look back across it, we've had a lot of things that have happened that who would have ever thought? I mean, you can't write a script for this kind of a job. And so every day has been different. I've enjoyed that. I enjoy being around people. I love going to Indianapolis and DC and doing that side of it, representing Terre Haute. And so I think it's really important for this, whoever's in this job, to make sure they remember that you work for the people and the people have a lot of needs and you got to make sure you meet those goals. And, I feel like we've done that. I really feel good about the last 16 years. And as I mentioned earlier, the team I put together here and, he's keeping some of them. So that says a lot. How do we move Terre Haute to the next level? That's kind of the next step in the process. And I just, we got to continue to do that. We got to have everybody, all hands on deck. And I believe that'll happen. And, I enjoyed every moment of this. It's just been, lots of highs and lows. And at the end of the day, I go home every night. I sleep well and I get up the next morning and tackle it again. And I think that's important for anybody in this role to do that. And I feel strongly about the progress we've made and I'm just feeling good going out. I just wish nothing but the best for everybody here in the future.
Can you put a finger on maybe one thing, and maybe it's a hard question, but that has changed in terms of the 16 years of being mayor? Is it housing? Have priorities really shifted from 16 years ago?
A little bit. I mean, we weren't talking about housing 16 years ago the same way we are today. I mean, it is a huge, huge demand. But we're talking about daycare, the accessibility for that. And we're talking about workforce development things more than we ever have because of the changing workforce needs out there. So you kind of look back and you say, okay, infrastructure is always important, but all those other things are important too, because if the place isn't clean, if it isn't safe, if you aren't investing in yourself, and that's been difficult with the property tax cap. So then all of a sudden you start getting the benefits of all these economic development deals and everything come to the community, and it's kind of like, okay, so now we need daycare, we need housing, we got to improve the workforce. It's all those things that you couldn't invest that much in because you knew it was going to hit eventually, but it all kind of came together at the same time. So I think we're in a great spot from that perspective. And, you've got to have a place that people want to come to and move to take these jobs. And so we've set the stage for that, and it's happening every day. And we just got to continue that.
I've seen that through the years doing the show, even up with Greg Goodnight in Kokomo, amenities. It was just so important to every mayor.
You have to stand out.
Yeah.
You have to do something to make yourself, why would somebody want to move to Terre Haute? Well, you come and look at it and you're thinking, this place has got it going on. If you don't have that, they're not going to do that. They're going to go somewhere else. And so you can't fill the jobs in, which leads to less economic development because the word gets out that there's no housing, there's nothing to do, whatever. And so we've changed that whole conversation here locally.
Well, before we go, now that we're no longer on a business level, we do want to leave you with a little something from the station.
Okay.
You can take a look there.
Awesome.
We have a FIU
cap. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
We have a mug from our Indiana News Desk
TV show
that you've been on many times.
Many times.
With this
video, absolutely.
Of course, the audio is always aired on WFIU. Uh-huh. I think there's just a little magnet in there too. But anyway.
Yeah, there is.
Thank you for all the years. I know that doesn't make up for all those.
It's great.
Those tough questions we've asked over the years.
No, you guys have been great. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.